To the Clean and Filthy Podcast with your host, Matthew M.
Hello and welcome to the Clean and Filthy Podcast, where we are clean and serene with a filthy mind in between. I am your host, Matthew M., and I am an addict in recovery. Welcome back, officially starting episode 2. First off, I have to say a huge thank you to everybody for all of your support, being part of this process, starting from, you know, from a very, very, very low level and building our way up very organically. So I have to give a huge thank you to everybody who's here with us right now, live on YouTube, watching the live stream, as well as everybody who's checking out this podcast, wherever you consume your podcast at a later date. If you are wanting to come through and watch us live, we've got a fun group of people who hang out with us live every Tuesday, 5 p.m. on YouTube. There's a really awesome chat going back and forth throughout the whole episode. I don't get to watch it while we're filming, but I definitely get to go back and check it out afterwards. So thank you, everybody, for all of your comments, it's just really making this whole process a lot of fun. Before we go any further, I got to give a huge thank you to our episode sponsor, Etc. by Emily. All of the information for her website is below in the description. So if you're needing any kind of staffing for a party or event, or if you're looking for a job, definitely go check them out. Again, definitely big thank you to everybody last week. I got a lot of great feedback. It was a lot of fun reading everybody's comments, getting all of the messages afterwards. You know, I really appreciate that. I appreciate the support immensely. And it's fun to have a little dialogue going back and forth. I gotta say, I did get some feedback that there was a couple people who were a little salty about something I said last week regarding the artist Future. So I just want to take a second to say you're right. My comments for Future were incorrect. In fact, Future, well, let's all say it together now. Future is
garbage, absolute trash.
That part.
Anyway, I love you, Ryan. Sorry that I had to say that. He's not as trash as your Steelers, though. So I digress. At least we can both agree that Wu-Tang's fire. Before we go any further as well, I got to give a huge shout out to our VIP supporters. These are the people who are supporting us on Patreon. Huge shout out to Clint P, Andrea R, and Alex T, everybody who supports us on Patreon for at least $5 gets one of these awesome Clean and Filthy podcast stickers. So if you're interested in helping this podcast grow, I can officially say that your guys' contributions and support are going to be getting us a microphone upgrade and then eventually some better lighting, since the lights that I'm using, I made myself. And you get the quality that you pay for. So we're going to be increasing the production value of this podcast as we go. I promise you of that. But again, thank you so much for your support. And if you want to be a supporter, you can simply head to the website, www.cleanandfilthypodcast.com. Click on the Patreon link and get all signed up then and there. you know, before we go any further, I want to make sure to do this. We do this every podcast to make sure that everybody realizes what we are. Again, this is a 12-step recovery-based podcast, but we are not a 12-step fellowship specific. We are not going to be talking about any specific fellowship to make sure we stay in line with the traditions. I'm not going to be giving any recommendations on sober living or meetings or talking about my home group or anything like that. If you're interested in information about a specific fellowship or how to get to a specific meeting or how to get into treatment or anything like that, I am more than happy to help. But we will not be addressing that on this podcast. So if you are interested in something like that, please contact me through social media. And you know, we can get you where you need to go. But I just want to make sure it's very clear that we are not a 12-step fellowship representative. I am not representing any anonymous program. This is all my experience, strength, and hope with a little bit of my opinion. It is not, you know, I'm not speaking as an authority for any 12-step fellowship or anything of that nature. Not going to recommend anything. All I can do is show what's worked for me personally. And even though I can't give specifics about that, if you know me, you know. So now that we've got all that in there, and you know, I just really do want to welcome everybody from all around the world, because after one episode, we had a download in France, we had download in Canada, we are literally all across the country. So thank you so much for your support, helping this podcast grow and carry the message of recovery. And you know, also I got a lot of positive feedback from people who aren't addicts or who aren't really, you know, involved with recovery on a you know, day-to-day basis. But it's great to see that, you know, we can help carry the message and show that, you know, as addicts, we do recover. So if you know anybody who might be interested in recovery, has, you know, struggled with addiction, maybe thinks they might be an addict, send them this way. You know, I really want this to be a safe place for everybody to have intimate conversations about recovery, about addiction, about the things we go through, you know, trying to live clean. And if we can all do that together, it's going to be able to carry the message that much better. So, you know, a huge shout out to everybody. Thank you so much. I also ask that if you are watching this podcast live, if you wouldn't mind, please going and downloading it from any place that you, you know, consume podcasts. We are officially on Google Podcasts, on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and a bunch of other options. Even if you're here watching it live, I really appreciate that. That helps get our numbers up. And when we get our numbers up, that increases our visibility, gets us higher on directory lists, and just makes everything better so we can produce a better product. So, and help more people. That is definitely the goal. So now that we got all that, we're going to get into our first segment.
Let's head to the lab for some R&D. Recovery and development.
All right, we are in the lab for some R&D, recovery and development. This is the segment of the show where we go through either one of the 12 steps, traditions, or concepts, or simply look at one of the spiritual principles that we as addicts try to put into our lives, you know, to live better. This is an opportunity for people who maybe aren't familiar with recovery to kind of learn a little bit about what we do and our process of self-growth, if you will. And also for people who are new and who maybe just came into recovery and they haven't worked any steps and they're confused and it's just a rather overwhelming. This is that opportunity to kind of help a little bit, you know, because, you know, I know for a fact I didn't know much. I still don't know much. But by working, you know, through others and learning, I've been able to gain a little bit of knowledge about, you know, recovery in general. And one of the most important parts within recovery is the 12 steps. You know, I fully believe that working the 12 steps of recovery is the key to freedom from active addiction or from whatever else you might be struggling with. The beautiful thing about recovery is that it's not just for drug addicts. The simple tenets within it and the spiritual principles within are really something that anybody can apply in their lives, whether you're an addict or not, and really help kind of grow as a human being. So as we did step one last week, we are on to step two. Now, step two says, we came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. And now I'm going to tell you straight off the top that this was very, very difficult for me when I came into the program. I remember very intently sitting in treatment, speaking with my counselor, shout out Paul. I don't know if you ever see this, but I love you, brother. And flat out saying, I can't do these steps. I can't do these steps because I see the word God and I see the capital H and I see higher power. And that sounds like religion to me. That is straight religion to me. I can't do that. I literally asked him, I'm like, would it be possible to work the 12 steps, just not do steps 2 and 3? You know, typical newcomer trying to find ways and means to manipulate and not, you know, not do that work. But the beautiful thing within, you know, any fellowship, and it says it in the readings, that this is a spiritual program, not a religious one. And for somebody like me, that was difficult to understand because I always associated God or higher power to mean a religious deity type of being. So I really struggled with that. I will admit, I really struggled with that. But the beautiful thing about recovery, and the beautiful thing is that it explains it in the literature, that all a higher power has to be is loving, caring, and greater than ourselves. Now, that was still something I couldn't really comprehend. Because as I spoke last week about powerlessness, you know, I always was raised believing I could do anything that I put my mind to. Believing that, you know, I didn't really need help. With enough hard work and enough willpower, I could do anything that I desired. So this concept of needing help from a power greater than myself was so foreign to me. And then when you couple that with the fact that when I came into the rooms, I was so spiritually bankrupt. I didn't realize how spiritually bankrupt I was, but I was so spiritually bankrupt that a spiritual concept, a spiritual principle was a completely foreign language to me. You know, it was a completely foreign language. And I can't say that I didn't have, you know, beliefs in something, but at times in my life, I really didn't. You know, I was always the type of person, the only type of prayers I would do were what we call foxhole prayers. You know, when maybe I'd done a little bit too much that night and I was like, oh, I please let me wake up tomorrow. You know, or when I would get pulled over, any of the countless times that I got pulled over. Side note, I like to drive fast, and at, you know, multiple points in my life, I've had cars that went fast. So I've had a lot of interactions with police while in possession of a felony. And there would be those moments of like, oh, please, just let me get away with this. Just let me get away with this. And, you know, that was something that in the moment I would do, but I didn't really believe. I didn't really believe that it was, you know, something greater out there helping me. And there would be times where I would have so many coincidences in life, but just was like, you know, it was just a coincidence. I just got lucky. I just got lucky. And it required me to come into recovery and to talk to other people and to sit in meetings and to listen and to really understand that for this to work, there needs to be something. It says in our literature that at the end of the first step that there's a vacuum created inside of us, and we need to find something to fill that vacuum. And that's where that spirituality piece comes in. That's why it's so important that we emphasize this is a spiritual program, not a religious program. It doesn't matter if you're religious. If you are, maybe you'll have an easier time figuring out a higher power. It doesn't matter if you're atheist. It doesn't matter if you're agnostic. None of those things matter. All that matters is that we're honest, open-minded, and willing, three of our most important spiritual principles. Because if I'm open-minded, then I'm at least considering that maybe there's something out there that could work. And then if I'm willing, maybe I'll try to implement it into my life. But it wasn't an easy process for me. You know, a lot of people will ask me, especially newcomers, will ask, you know, so what's your higher power? And the beautiful thing about what our higher power is that it can change. It can change and it can grow and it can become different things. And it says in our literature that we can use this power before we understand it. And I am so thankful for that because I can truly say today with 3 years and a week, 8 days clean, that I use my higher power so often. My higher power is always there for me if I want to use it. But to define what my higher power is a lot more difficult. And I don't have to. Maybe at some point in my recovery, I'll get to a point where I'm like, I need to figure out my higher power needs to be this, and it's cut and dry. Maybe. But for right now, all that matters for my higher power is that it's loving, it's caring, and it's greater than me. And I also throw in the extra thing of it helps keep me clean. So at any given day, my higher power could be the rooms in Narcotics Anonymous. That's definitely what it was when I first started off. The fellowship was my go-to higher power. And it started off for me the process of being open-minded to a concept of a higher power and then being willing to put my faith or at least my hope within that higher power. You know, so I would start, I remember in sober living out in Vegas, my nightly routine would simply be before I went to sleep, laying in bed and just saying, thank you for another day clean. Help me get another day clean tomorrow. Help me be a better man tomorrow than I was today. Help me be a better father tomorrow than I was today. Help me be a better person tomorrow than I was today. And then I would start the morning off with, thank you for another day clean. Help me get to tonight clean. And I would just repeat that. And it says within our literature that sometimes we have to act as if. And I can admit the fact that was part of my process. And the beautiful thing is that this is a process. You know, this is the second step is a process. Coming to believe in its sense is a process. It's for some people, maybe it is a lightning bolt instant moment, but that wasn't my story. That definitely wasn't my story. And while I started off with that, not really, you know, there were days, especially in the beginning, that I would do it and I would just be like, oh, why did I even just do that? What was the point of that? Like, really? That was dumb. That was corny. But then I started noticing that on nights that I forgot to do that, felt a little fucked up. Just felt a little off. And the scientific part of me is like, oh, okay, well, that's just because you're feeling guilt over not doing it. So that's what's the reasoning. And maybe it was. Maybe so. But all I know is that by doing that simple prayer, that simple little prayer allowed me to feel something. It allowed me to feel something. I don't know what it was, but I felt something. And so whether that was truly my higher power or not, again, it doesn't matter to me. All I know is that it's something that was working and continues to work. And as I said, you know, my higher power changes. It can be the group. It can be being of service. It can be, you know, being able to carry the message. It can be the sunset, the sunrise, being out in nature, looking up for me personally, one of the biggest moments of higher power was just laying out, looking up at the stars and feeling so tiny within the galaxy, within everything. And that moment, I felt a connection to something. And for me, I call that my higher power. I felt a connection to my higher power. But the beautiful thing of not having a defined set higher power is, like I said, it can change. There have been plenty of times that my higher power will simply be, and this is going to sound dumb to some people, and people who know me, they're going to understand it completely, the sound of a gorgeous Lamborghini Aventador V12 engine roaring by. And for people out there saying, come on, how is that loving and caring and greater than yourself? And how does that keep you clean? I will tell you, because the feeling that I feel that goes through my body when that engine roars and I get goosebumps and I get excited, that is love. Maybe it's not the type of love that I feel for other things, but that is love. And there's somebody out there who is agreeing with me right now. Beautiful thing again about this program is that element of, yeah, me too. So somebody out there gets that. And maybe it's not, you know, a Lamborghini engine. But in that moment, that's something that helps keep me clean. There are times where just laying in bed, having a conversation with another addict and watching Rick and Morty, that helps keep me clean in that moment. So for me, my higher power can change. My higher power can grow. And it's such an exciting process. It's such an exciting process seeing as things grow and change. You know, the only thing that we ever really specify is that we don't ever want our higher power to be a person. Because people inherently fail us. Humanity in general, it can be the greatest person ever. But if we make our higher power a person, we put expectations on that person. We elevate that person to a level that inherently will let us down. So that is really the only you know, confines and restrictions that I try to you know, mention to my sponsees, is that your higher power can be whatever you want it to be, but try not to have it be a person, because that can really set us up for failure. That can really set us up for failure at times. You know, but like I said, the process grows. And when it, as though, even though it started off as acting as if, I couldn't have even acted as if it weren't for the fact that I was honestly giving this a try. I was open-minded enough to consider something different than I'd ever done before. And I was willing to do it. And that is one of the most important things, is the spiritual principles of honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness. And for me, at some point, doing that made me feel better. And as an addict, I like doing things that make me feel better. I like doing things that help not want to use constantly. And getting that spiritual connection was something. And some people are going to have way less difficulty than me with this, because some people have a much more broad spiritual sense. You know, and so much of my lack of spirituality came from one of the key tenets of the disease of addiction, which is my total self-centeredness. And I talked about this before, where I didn't feel like, you know, 100% self-centered, I am the greatest thing ever. But I also didn't consider the possibility that there could be something else, that there could be something else looking out for me. And does that mean that I think it's, you know, this, you know, omnipotent figure that has my entire life planned out? No. But I do feel that there's something out there for me. And we'll get into the whole life plan element next week when we get into the third step and our higher powers will. But in order to get to there, we have to develop that loving and caring higher power. And the beautiful thing about that is that my higher power, whatever it is always there. You know, I often will use unconditional love, the unconditional love that I feel from other addicts, because that is always there. Even at times, if I don't love myself, if I walk into a room of addicts, there are people out there who love me unconditionally, no matter what I've done, no matter what my past was, no matter how difficult life gets, there's always love. And so that is something that I go back to a lot, is that feeling of unconditional love, that feeling of love when you look at a newcomer and give them a hug and say, keep coming back. And you see that gift of desperation, like we talked about last week, that love in itself is part of what my spirituality is and what my higher power is. So realize that it is a process. You know, if you're out there struggling, I was too. There are still moments that I struggle. But I know that my higher power is always there. But sometimes I choose not to acknowledge that. Sometimes I choose to sit in my shit. Sometimes, we'll get next week, I choose to take my will back. Sometimes I don't want to put my faith and trust in a higher power. And that can be incredibly detrimental. That can be. But I know it's always there. I just have to choose to make contact with it. And I will say, there are times that I do slip up and I don't pray as much as I need to. I had to put hung a piece of paper on my mirror to remind myself to make sure I pray every day. And then when that didn't work, I put a notification in my phone. Because sometimes We forget about the things that got us to where we are. Sometimes we choose to not look at all of the factors that had to go into play to get us where we are. You know, and when I look back at certain things that happened in my life, like I said, the instances where I was pulled over, and I mean, I should have gone to prison for the amount of times I was pulled over with enough narcotics on me to felony intent to distribute without a question. I had another instance. And this to me, when I look back on it, it's just like, wow, how could this not have been? How could this not have been higher power? I was down in Sunny Slope. Anybody in Arizona knows Slope. Driving my car with expired plates and a suspended license. Driving down Hatcher Road, right? Stopped at the light on 19th Avenue. Little more context to this. One of my dope dealers is in the back seat. Just got out of prison. Did 6 years in prison. His buddy, we called him Draco Paul because, yes, he always had a Draco with him, was sitting next to him with a copious amount of a specific substance on him. He just got done doing 15 years. And we were heading to go cop more. And as I'm sitting there, a cop pulls up right behind me. Right behind me. And the amount of fear and terror and just belief that my life was about to pretty much be done. And it was the longest red light of my life. Oh my God, I tell you, it was the longest red light in history. And the entire time I'm running through all the attic stuff. Of course, my mind was already pretty spun at that point. Then you add this interaction. And so I'm thinking, okay, do I take off? Where do I go? What do I do? How do I'm losing it. And we pulled through the light. And the cop kept going. Why? Why? I mean, sure, we could say that was just dumb luck. That was just, you know, luck. And maybe once that would be luck. But then when you add in all of the other times, if you add in the fact that I had a 45 caliber pistol at the back of my head, getting beaten with it. That's a story for another time, whatever. And I lived through it. The fact that I'm not in prison right now. The fact that I have a clean date means that something was watching out for me. And the scientific side of me wants to say, okay, well, we can analyze and rationalize and tell why that occurred. But I don't need to do that today because I have faith and trust in a higher power. So I don't need to try and rationalize. I can just enjoy the fact that my higher power, whatever it is, saw fit for me to make it to this place right here in my life and be sitting here with over 3 years clean. So if you're struggling with the concept of a higher power, just try acting as if. Talk to other members. Talk to other people. Try other things. Try religion. Try crystals. Try tarot cards. Try listening to Lamborghini V12 engines. Whatever. Whatever it is. Just try it, because we don't know if it's going to work until we try it. And eventually, by doing something enough, I would be very surprised if something doesn't work. Something will at some point. So that's the higher power part of the second step. But we got another important word in there. Word of sanity. Now, I love this part of the second step. Because it says in our literature, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing and expecting a different result. I know that's not just in our literature. That's the definition of it. But that was my life day after day, time after time for so many years of active addiction. And not just in active addiction. That level of sanity versus insanity stretches much beyond using drugs, I have found. I can have insanity in so many parts of my life. whether it be with spending money, whether it be with compulsively seeking sex, whether it be from watching porn, from eating. There are so many things that can lead to insanity that do not require me to put a substance into my body. And all of those levels of insanity that have occurred, both while using and not, speak to a level of disconnection with my higher power. If I am trying to stay connected with my higher power and aligned, as we'll get into the next, you know, next week on the third step, with my higher power's will, it is much more difficult to allow things to make my life insane. But that was truly my story for so many years of this time it's going to be different. I'm doing nothing different, mind you. I'm doing the exact same as I had done, the exact same things I had done before, but this time it's going to be different. Why? I don't know, but it is. Watch. It was never different, for the record. Just in case anybody was wondering there, no cliffhanger here. It was never different. Every single time, it ended up being the same. And then I was so confused. I'm like, why? Why is it the same again? What am I doing? I'm doing the same thing. I'm doing the same shit, expecting a different result. And then I'm salty when it doesn't happen. Like, how is that not insanity? Like, what? But the beautiful thing about once we work a second step is we start to see little things in our lives being restored to sanity. Just little instances that can be so fulfilling and can bring so much hope. One of the biggest spiritual principles within the second step is the concept of hope, because that level of hope is what keeps a lot of us coming back. Being able to look around a room and see other people that we're able to do it gives us the drive to try and do it ourselves. And again, it's not an overnight thing at times. For some people, it is. For some people, that hope piece just boom, and they're full of hope, and they go from there. For other people, it takes a lot more time. So if you're struggling and you feel hopeless, share about that. Go to a meeting, share about it. Hit an addict up, share about that. Look at what has helped other people move past feeling hopeless. Because for so long, I didn't feel hopeless because I didn't even think about feeling hopeless. I was so focused on just finding ways and means to get more. I never considered that I was hopeless. I genuinely didn't. You know, even the only time I really felt hopeless was when, like, my plug wasn't answering. But now looking back on it, I was so broken. I was so spiritually disconnected. There wasn't any hope for me. I had dreams, but I never had any element of real hope. But coming into the rooms, that feeling of hope is truly overwhelming at times. Feeling that level of connection, looking at other people who were just like me and seeing them do it. Sitting there with 30 days clean and seeing somebody get a year when I didn't think that could ever happen. And now knowing that I can help carry that hope to somebody who's now sitting there with 30 days and looking at somebody getting 3 years and saying, there's no way I could do that. There's no way. And one of the best ways for me to really quantify my restoration to sanity, because again, I'm scientific and I'm analytical in a lot of ways. So I need to know, how is it that I'm actually being restored to sanity? Show me. What it says in our literature is that, you know, sanity often means simply not acting out on our first impulses. And it then says later on that anytime we are able to respond differently to a situation than before, that is evidence of being restored to sanity. So anytime that I'm able to respond to a situation. So waking up in the morning and not using drugs, that's evidence of being restored to sanity. So if you're out there and you're struggling with the second step, did you wake up today? Did you stay clean? You did something different than you would have ever done previously. you're being restored to sanity. And the beautiful thing is watching that happen, having interactions with people in my life who can be very triggering or can be very stressful or can be very difficult, and not demeaning myself, not lowering my self-esteem by acting the way I would have in the past, evidence of being restored to sanity. Walking into a Walmart and not immediately thinking about stealing, restoration of sanity. I just had another example of this 2 days ago. I was at the airport, was walking, saw three guys. One of them dropped $40 out of his pocket, fell right on the ground. I walked over to it, and I didn't even consider taking that money. The me of 3 years ago, shit, the me of maybe 2.5, 2-ish years ago, probably would have pocketed that money. But just for today, I didn't. Why? Because the second step is working in my life. The second step is showing me I don't have to live that way anymore. And that's a beautiful feeling. That is a beautiful feeling to not even consider it. And I'm not trying to be like, oh, I'm holier than thou. Oh, look at me. I didn't even consider taking that guy's money. But I genuinely didn't. Because in that moment, I realized that it wouldn't have been a spiritual thing to do. I realized that that wasn't the way I needed to live anymore. And that $40 maybe, and I'm not saying that $40 wouldn't have helped me. It would have. But maybe it would have helped him more. So just for today, I'm able to live that way. Another instance of being restored to sanity. So the last thing I want to touch on is the concept of, you know, discussing hope. Because hope truly is the cornerstone of the second step. But I was working with a sponsee last year talking about hope. I said, what's really interesting is that when I first came into the program, I clung on to hope. I clung on to looking at other addicts and seeing what worked for them and seeing that they were able to do it. So I had hope. But today, I don't really have hope. I have trust. I have belief. My hope for a better life, my hope to not use drugs, my hope to be a better person has turned into the fact that I believe, I know that I won't use drugs, that I'll be a better person, that I'll be a better human being if I continue working this program. So my hope has now changed to a feeling of trust, a feeling of belief, of faith, not just in the program, but in my higher power, which, depending on the day, is the program. And it's funny, when I told this to my sponsor, he said, well, you know, okay, of course you're going to say that, but look what hope is. Hope is hearing other people's experience. And when I heard that, I was immediately hopeful again. All of that previous element of like, oh, it's not hope, it's trust, allowed me to bring it back to that hope piece. Because hearing other people's experiences is how we grow. Seeing other people walk through things that maybe I haven't walked through, but maybe I will in the future. That gives me hope. Seeing people go through experiences without using or without acting in character defects or without doing things that demean themselves. That gives me hope that I can do it as well. So that's what we got for today on the second step. If you have questions about the second step, ask your sponsor. If you don't have a sponsor, get a sponsor. If you're not in the program, so therefore you can't get a sponsor, hit me up. I'd love to talk about the second step. I personally love the second step. It was a huge moment for me. And it's one of those things where I can, when I really look back on how much my recovery has changed from that, you know, scared kid sitting in treatment, looking at a wall and saying, there's no way I could ever do this. It's religion. Ah, to now sitting here actually, you know, acknowledging and relying on my higher power's love. It's definitely pretty crazy. So if you're struggling with the higher power, with spirituality, just act as if, because at some point something's going to change. And if something doesn't change, try something else. And if that doesn't work, try something else. Because that's what we do in the program. We find what works for us and leave the rest. So that's what we got for the second step. Hopefully that you know, gives somebody some help, some clarity, whatever. And now we are going to get into my favorite moment of the week. So this week, there were a few things. First off, I want to, before we get into anything, this is kind of a segment where, you know, we talk pop culture and life and stuff. So I want to say, really, prayers go out to Tiger Woods. He got in a really bad car accident today, rolled his car, in surgery right now for his leg. Everybody was worried before this, like, hey, is his back going to be okay to go to the Masters? Now let's just hope he recovers and is healthy. Crazy, though, because of his past struggles, the first thought in my mind was, fuck, I hope he wasn't loaded. Hope he wasn't high. So much, much hope and, you know, prayers out to him. Also, this is definitely not my favorite moment of the week, but shout out to Bobby Shmurda for getting out of prison. After this episode, I'm going to go throw on some Bobby Shmurda. I'm going to do a little shmoney dance, and I'm going to send a hat up to the moon. If nobody knows what I'm talking about right here, well, that's unfortunate. But yeah, shout out Bobby Shmurda. So the actual favorite moment of the week is something I found on Instagram. And for people who don't know, this is the time where I look back at the last week of things that have occurred in pop culture, in sports, in my life, whatever, movies, entertainment, and find something that really, you know, I could really latch on to. And this one comes from Instagram. And I want to make sure that I give background on this, because before I go any further, I want to specify that I really want to keep an element of unity within this podcast, which is part of the reason that I don't get into politics and I don't discuss, you know, those elements of things, because that's such a divisive issue. And, you know, I don't really want to divide any more than we already are. But this week's favorite moment comes from a memer on Instagram named Quentin Quarantino. For anybody who's not familiar with him, he has been around pretty much the whole, you know, quarantine, posting mostly memes regarding politics, but he's blown up from you know, almost nothing to now has, you know, hundreds of thousands of followers. And again, I'm not, you know, going into this segment to talk about the political aspect of it. That's not what I'm trying to do. What I want to talk about is the fact that when Rush Limbaugh died, he, being an internet troll and being kind of a dick, sent a $100 donation to Planned Parenthood in Rush Limbaugh's honor. And I don't even want to get into all that, because I'm not, regardless of what you feel or what I feel personally on Rush Limbaugh, I don't want to get into those things. But the fact that he sent this $100 donation to Planned Parenthood, just kind of as a, ha-ha, you know, I'm going to do it in his honor since he was super pro-life, turned into a huge thing. Now, first off, before we go any further, I want to discuss the fact that Planned Parenthood, while it is, you know, thought of as this abortion factory, that's not truthful. Planned Parenthood's, the services they offer, only 4% of what they do each year is abortions. Only 4%. 95% of that is STD screenings, STD care, cancer screenings, contraceptive information, and there was another 1% on the diagram that said other services. So the fact that, you know, this isn't getting into like a pro-life, pro-choice debate. I don't want to have that. Because again, I don't want to push anybody away. But the simple fact of the matter is that Planned Parenthood does so much more than abortions. And this dude decided to make a $100 donation just for funsies, just to kind of be an internet dick, you know, kind of doing what trolls do online. And in the span of 3 days, had made $500,000 in donations. And as of today, I believe 8 days later, he's at $1.19 million. Now think about that. one dude post one thing online. And first he said, let's get it to, he made the donation. Then when he saw people start making donations, he's like, let's go for $10,000. $10,000. Talk about underselling yourself. Shooting for $10,000 and is able to raise almost $2 million. A random dude from New York who blew up because he did nonstop coverage of, you know, the election. And that was such a crazy thing to me. It's such a crazy thing how we can have interactions with people and how we can inspire things and inspire help. And regardless of what your feelings on abortion are, that doesn't matter. The simple fact of the matter is that Planned Parenthood is instrumental. It is vital in helping people, helping women understand their bodies. Because so many people within our country, and especially from other cultures that immigrate to our country, are not taught anything about reproductive health or sex education, are not taught a single thing about what contraception is, how to use it. People from religious backgrounds, it's not discussed. It is literally said, don't have sex until you're married. Well, guess what? That might have worked thousands of years ago, but that doesn't work today. Maybe it works for some. If it's working for you, cool. But for the vast, I won't say majority because I don't have statistics on it and I don't want a bunch of people sending, you know, adding me on Instagram, telling me how I'm wrong. But for a lot of people, that does not work. So instead of meandering aimlessly into a very scary, murky world of sexuality, Planned Parenthood gives opportunities to help, shows people and the basic things that everybody should know. And for the record, that isn't just outside of this country. And that's not just in super religious areas. There are plenty of states who have, you know, different ballots on the docket to try and change or eliminate sex education, which is terrifying for me because I had a ton of sex education and I still had a lot of interactions way younger than I should have that probably had detrimental, you know, results within me. We're going to get a lot more into healthy sexuality at some point because that's something I really struggle with. So, you know, I had a ton of information and I still, you know, made some mistakes. So if you don't have any information about something and you don't know, you know, realize that, hey, if you have sex unprotected, not only can you get pregnant, you can get an STD. There are people who don't know that. There are genuinely people who do not know that. And now being able to help so many women off of just being an internet troll, like, that is just crazy to me. So again, I'm not trying to, you know, give him some huge accolades for his, you know, political views or anything like that. But the fact that he could take a simple troll job and simply for, you know, put a donation in honor of a man who once said that all abortions should be done with a gun. The fact that he could take such negativity and turn it into almost $2 million. That is nuts to me. And it's the fact of taking a negative situation, and maybe he didn't have the most spiritual, you know, entry into it, but taking a negative situation and turning a positive out of it to potentially help tens of thousands, millions. I don't know what the numbers would be. Again, don't at me, but to be able to assist and help people live a better life, a safer life, a more healthy life, a life that betters humanity as a whole, that's nuts to me. Like, that is so amazing to me. And I literally got goosebumps each time I would open up Instagram and see where it was at. It was like, all right, cool. You know, I got in at about like 200,000. If only I'd gotten into Bitcoin when I had the opportunity to, whatever. But I got in at about $200,000, you know, and then just watching it. And each time I'd open it up, it's like, oh, it's at 400. Oh, it's at 500. I'm sharing it with people. And It was exciting. It was exciting because I felt a connection to helping. There was even if it was, you know, started off in a meme kind of dickish troll kind of way, I felt a connection to helping make the world a better place. And that's just such a great feeling. That's one of the greatest feelings I feel in my life. That's why I'm so involved with recovery, because I feel that I'm able to help. Maybe not, you know, as many people as $1.9 million could have done, or 1.19, sorry, 1.2 million total. But, you know, at the end of the day, being able to help is a huge thing. And the fact that he said $100 towards $10,000 and then blew up to the level he did, talk about underselling. Talk about selling yourself short. And that's something as addicts we do all the time. You know, we talk about that in the program, that if I would have written down everything that I had hoped would occur within the first year, God, I would have been underselling myself. If I would have written everything down, I would have hoped to have it 3 years. I damn sure wouldn't have put a podcast on there. I damn sure wouldn't have put being able to carry the message on this platform on there. I damn sure would have said, yes, somebody in France is going to download a podcast that I'm going to make when I've got 3 years clean. Because we eternally undersell ourselves. Eternally. But the beautiful thing is that if we stick around, we get to grow and achieve heights we never could have realized. So, again, shout out Quentin Quarantino. If you're not following him on Instagram, check him out. Again, the name is Quentin.Quarantino. So, great work with that. Huge, huge shout out for that. That was definitely my favorite moment of the week. And now, let's get into our next segment.
It's time to Ask an Addict with your host, Matthew M.
That's right. It is time to Ask an Addict with me. I am an addict. And this is a segment of the show where we answer viewers and listeners' questions about recovery, about life, really whatever. This does not need to be recovery specific. For some reason, I love answering questions. I really don't know why. Literally, like back in the day playing Truth or Dare, I would always just select Truth because, well, that's not true. I did select Dare a lot as well. But I love being asked questions, so I digress. So if you have a question, please send me what it is on wherever you follow me on social media, or you can send me an email directly at matthew@cleanandfilthypodcast.com. We are having a little bit of difficulty with the Contact Us page of the website sending me the email for some reason. So please just go ahead. If you don't get a response from me on the Contact Us page, send me an email directly or hit me up on one of the social medias so we can get your question in there. So first question that I'm going to cover, it actually kind of ties into the whole underselling. And that is, how did I get to use the amazing Valentino Khan and Alice in Wonderland song Anything as our theme song? And this is the ultimate shooting your shot. You know, 1,000% of shots we don't take miss. And I've really liked Alice in Wonderland for a while. I've really gotten into Valentino Khan over the last 6-9 months. Really all of quarantine. Shout out Valentino Khan for them Quarantino Khan mixes, fire. But I've really been getting into his music, and when Anything came out, it was just like the whole vibe, like the buildup, and it sounds kind of like happy and ethereal, but also kind of spooky. And there was just something about it that I just vibed with it hard. And I was thinking about it. I was like, you know, first, what am I going to do for music? What am I going to do? I'll probably just go onto one of these, you know, websites that has, you know, royalty-free music, whatever. And then I just thought about it. I'm like, you know what? Let's just send an email. So I literally just looked up on Google and YouTube contact information for Valentino Khan's management and shot out an email. And I made it kind of funny. Like, he's from LA. He's a big Lakers fan. So I literally just kind of said, like, yeah, you know, I'm starting a podcast, you know, recovery based. I would love to be able to use, you know, a Valentino Khan song. I know the likelihood of you even responding to me is super, you know, super minimal, but kind of like AD, you know, in the bubble, shooting. I'm just going to keep shooting my shot. And Didn't expect to hear anything. I'll admit that. I didn't expect to hear anything. And I woke up the next morning and I had an email. Had an email back. And it was very short and said, well, you shot your shot, but you didn't say what song you wanted. And after I, you know, hyperventilated and called about five people to tell them that, oh my God, they hit me back, I responded and said, yeah, I'd love to use anything. It's got the same type of vibe. I was already planning out in my head, like, where I would use the drop and what I would do with this and how it would play in. And next thing I know, 3 days later, I'm literally having emails back and forth with Mad Decent Records, who is the record label that signed that Valentino Khan and Alice in Wonderland are signed to. And next thing I know, I have clearance to use it. Like, what? I'm a drug addict who is banned from every Walmart in the world, and I have two world famous DJs permission to use the song on my podcast? What? Like, how does that happen? How is that a thing? And so often in my life, I would never shoot a shot at something because I lived within fear. Oh, I lived within fear. But now I have that opportunity to say, what's the worst that's going to happen? What's the worst that's going to happen in that situation? They don't respond? Okay, then we move on. What's the worst that happens? I reach a roadblock and I work through it or around it or over it? Because that's what we do in recovery. We face challenges, we face issues, and we walk around them, we walk through them, we walk over them, but we never walk through them alone or over them or around them alone. And in this instance, I just said, why not? And what do you know? I've got one of my absolute favorite songs as the theme music for my podcast. That's nuts. So again, huge shout out, Mad Decent Records. Huge shout out, Valentino Khan, Alice in Wonderland. Download info is below in the description. One of these days I'm gonna reach out to Valentino Khan because he probably doesn't even know right now that his music is theme song. His management probably just let me do it. But at some point, I'm going to reach out to him and I'm going to grow that Valentino Khan stash and it's going to be a vibe. So that's first question. Second question, are there resources for finding roommates in recovery? Now, this is definitely an interesting thing and a difficult topic because I know personally many, many people who ended up getting into a roommate situation with a friend or, you know, whatever from you know, going to treatment in very early recovery. And next thing you know, the roommate goes out. And in at least four or five of those situations, the person also ended up going out. And when I say going out, to people who aren't familiar with the terminology, that means that they used drugs. They got loaded. And that's a terrifying thing because we always want to have people around us, but we need to find people who are serious about the recovery. That's why I always recommend people go to sober living. People stay in sober living for a while. And then when you do decide that you want to maybe get a roommate, there are resources. One of the best things to do is to get into a meeting and mention it. I know personally from my home group, multiple people have gotten places together because they talked about it in a meeting. You know, they said, yeah, I'm looking for a place. I need a roommate. Next thing you know, that ended up linking up. But it's still, it can be a very difficult thing to have a roommate in recovery. Again, the issue of if they go out, that's a scary thing. You know, then what do you do? And no, you know, no addict is better than another. Every addict is, you know, one bad decision away from going back out and maybe never coming back. So that can be a very, very difficult thing. Another, you know, resource is definitely Facebook. There are so many recovery groups on Facebook that, you know, specialize in connecting people in recovery. Personally, I would recommend making sure that person, not only are they clean, but they're actually working a program. They're actually going to meetings. They're actually, you know, have a sponsor and call their sponsor, are working steps, are being of service, Because those are those things we do to keep us a little bit further away from going back out. So, you know, I personally don't know if I would really recommend getting a roommate with somebody who's simply not using, you know, like that's a scary thing to me. And I also would recommend make sure, you know, there's more than a year clean or close to that, or if not a year clean, a very, very solid program. Because if not, if things go south, they go left, everything can go very, very left. And then you're in a situation that requires extra emotion and effort and energy and stress that wasn't necessary before. So I would definitely say look at it, you know, with a little bit of caution. But if that's the route you're going to go, definitely look at, you know, mention in meetings or mention it within, you know, within different Facebook groups or other resources. Or, hey, maybe we'll eventually get a page on the website for people looking for recovery resources. I don't know. Maybe that's something we'll aim towards. So thank you very much for the question. Next question. I love this one. Is what was my favorite step and why? Now, I don't want to go too deep into this because we're going to be discussing one of my favorite steps next week with the third step. But the third step for me is one of the most freeing steps within my recovery. Within my program of recovery, the third step is probably my most favorite and what has helped me the most in, you know, gaining over three years clean now. But I will say my favorite step in terms of what it did in here is the sixth step. Whew, those character defects though. Sixth step was painful. Everybody talks about like, oh, the fourth step's so bad, or at least that's what you hear. I didn't think the fourth step was bad at all. Fourth step was fun. Just told my sponsor, strap in, bro. We're going for a ride. But the sixth step, now that requires work. That requires peeling that shit inside. Because as addicts, we like to live in character defects. Man, character defects feel good. Character defects are fun. And for too long, you know, I did that. For the vast majority of my life, I did that. But being able to do a little bit of work and do a little bit of peeling, a little bit of the onion, and then realizing that like my character defects had character defects.
That part.
Yeah. And then my character defects had character defects, which had character defects.
That part.
Yeah, that was my vibe. But being able to walk through that process and then work a seventh step, whew, freedom, literal freedom, and further evidence of being restored to sanity. Because so many times in my past, I would react to situations directly out of defect. But by working the sixth step, I was able to understand and see those defects and find ways and means to work through them. And while, I mean, I will say full disclosure, sixth step doesn't mean like you do your sixth step and hey, you have no more character defects. That's not how it works. But once we become knowledgeable of them, living in them is much more difficult for me personally. Like once I got to the sixth step and I had, you know, I'd worked each step in order with a sponsor for this reason, because then once you get to the sixth step, I have a level of spirituality. I have a level of understanding. And then we start looking at the things that for so much of my life are what like made me. I felt almost like a sense of identity to a lot of my character defects. And then I also had a shit ton more that I didn't even know about. That was a whole nother thing. But walking through that with a good connection to a level of spirituality, with a good connection to a higher power, was such a feeling of freedom. And once I was walking through them and I knew them now, acting in them, it felt icky. Felt really icky, I gotta say. And that doesn't mean that I don't still act in character defect at times. There are still those times where in my mind, first thought is direct to character defects. On certain topics, on certain with certain people, that's just how it is. It's why I'm not recovered. It's why nobody is ever recovered. It's why recovery is an ongoing process. Because there's still those times where it'll pop up. And my first thought is immediately defect, 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 defect. But I don't have to act on it. I can't control my thoughts. All I can control is my actions, or are my actions. And so the thoughts will still come. But now if I don't act in them, I'm being showing that I'm being restored to sanity. So third step for my program, sixth step for myself. Those are my favorite steps and why. Had somebody else ask, what is it like being three now, since I'm officially 3 years old in the program? Honestly, it's different. It's kind of weird, but it's beautiful. It's a lot different than when I first came in the rooms. You know, I'm more excited about the people that I'm going to be giving shout outs here in this next segment of our clean time shout outs than I was about my clean time. You know, I was definitely excited that I'm able to carry the message. And hey, I got 3 years clean when I couldn't get 3 days clean prior to going to treatment and getting involved in the fellowship. But once, for me personally, I've gotten to the point where recovery is just life and life is recovery. And I shouldn't have said just, because that makes it seem like that's not exciting. And for me, that is exciting, but it's not the struggle it was at 3 months, thinking, wow, can I really get to 6 months? How am I going to do that? Or even getting to a year, because there was no way in hell I was going to get a year clean. And now, by doing what has worked for me, by relying on that faith and belief we talked about earlier, now it just feels normal. And again, I shouldn't have said just. I keep undermining my statement with the word just. Because feeling normal is a really good feeling. So much of my life as an addict in, you know, in active addiction was highs and lows and highs and lows, and there was no normalcy. And having that level of normalcy where my first worry isn't how I'm going to get loaded, where my first thought isn't doing something unspiritual, normal is freedom for me. And I love that my normal is, you know, in recovery. My normal is with over 3 years clean. So it's a great feeling. It's a lot different feeling than I would have thought it would be. When I had 30 days, if you would have told me how I was going to feel at 3 years, I would have thought it would be a lot different. But, you know, the pandemic, the, you know, state of the world, there are a lot of things that kind of went into that this year. So, you know, that's kind of what it's like to be three. I'm very happy to be three, but, you know, it wasn't as crazy exciting as I thought it was going to be. But that's okay. And I'm realizing that that's okay. I'm okay with that being okay. And I'm okay with normalcy. I said okay way too much there. All right, so that's what we got for questions. There are some more questions that were submitted. We're going to go ahead and get to those next week, because I already knew we were going to spend a lot of time on the second step, and we're a little over time. But before we close up, we have to get to clean time shoutouts. So for everybody who doesn't know, this is the period of our show where we recognize people within the programs of recovery for getting continuous clean time. And here we celebrate all of the universally recognized milestones. So 29 seconds of 29 days, 30 days, 60 days, 90 days, 6 months, 9 months, 1 year, 18 months, and 2 years, or multiples of years, two and more, as well as we give shout outs for people who hit different milestones, like 100 days or 250 days or 1,000 days. Because honestly, getting 1,000 days for me, I think was more exciting than getting 3 years. Like, seeing four digits in the number of clean time is nuts to me. So yeah, that's to me, it's exciting to do those things. Also, got to give a shout out. I got my rings in. Very excited. Shout out to Serenity Sam. If you're interested in any kind of recovery jewelry, check him out. Usually I would get these at conventions, but we haven't had conventions. So I was able to get my year two and my year three ring. And one day I'm going to look like Bill Russell, hopefully. But let's get to some shout outs. First off, with 90 days, we got my boy Joe. Well done, brother. Congratulations, man. I saw you like day three. Look at you now. Next up, we got my boy Mark with 6 months. You get that half a book. And man, Mark, well done, brother. This is another person who has been clean the entire pandemic. You know, I don't even know if he's been to an in-person meeting yet, but he has stayed clean during a pandemic. So when we say we don't use no matter what, we mean no matter what. Doesn't matter if there's a pandemic, we don't use. So shout out to Mark. Got some fun story about Mark. We'll get to that at some point. It's crazy when you know people from before the program and then years later you see him in the program. So shout out. Love you, brother. And next up, we got my boy Dennis with 1 year. Boom. Well done, my dude. Another one who's been around pretty much the whole pandemic in virtually and doing his thing. And next up, we got my girl Maya with 18 months. You get a boom and a half. And then finally, Maz with 6 years, Jende. Boop, 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 boop. That's that six shooter. So congratulations, everybody who picked up time. If you didn't pick up time today, don't use. Keep coming back, and you will. And if you want a clean time shout out, make sure to send me your first name, how much time you're celebrating, to either Matthew at cleanandfilthypodcast.com or anywhere on social media, and we will give you a shout out on air. So it's about that time, y'all. Great episode. Thank you, everybody, for being here. I love each and every one of you. If nobody told you today that they love you, I love you, even if I don't know you. Thank you for helping me on my journey of recovery, and let's go help others on their journey of recovery. Again, huge shout out to our episode sponsor, Etc. by Emily, and again, Valentino Khan, Alice in Wonderland, Mad Decent Records for letting us use this amazing song. And now let's just vibe out. See you guys next week, y'all. 5 p.m. Arizona time, Tuesday on YouTube. Let's go!